Yes. Man, how beautiful is that, huh? Man, it's a beautiful day because it's Bengals Day. Yes. And it's a beautiful day because we have incredible volunteers like Al and Mary who are belting out their deal. How good is that, huh? You know, in a lot of places in our society, volunteer is meant to be rinky-dink or just what you have to do because you can't pay somebody. I mean, if something is really good, we say, well, man, he's a real pro. She's a real pro. It's real professional. So, you know, sports, you know, if they're professionals, they're better than amateurs. Professional tour is better than the amateur tour. But in God's economy, in God's world, and the phrase that Jesus used to describe that is called the kingdom of God. In God's kingdom, a volunteer is not less than. It's somebody who's just bringing the fullness of their heart to be a blessing to others, loving on people, and just to be engaged in this thing called the game of life. I have some people up here on stage with me who are just normal volunteers around here. Let's welcome Tony right here in fall. Tony, tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do around here, yada, yada, yada.
Well, we started coming to Crossroads in 2004, right at the end. And at the time, we were just in a place that was just dry. We were spiritually stagnant. There was no growth. We were just putting our suits on Sundays, going through the motions, and just nothing, just lifeless. And essentially what had happened was I just lost my fire for the things of God.
You were putting your suit on. I guess some churches actually wear suits in the morning, huh? Yeah.
Believe it or not.
So you started coming here. What did you start doing while you were here part of a Crossroads?
Well, I started working on facilities. And as part of that, what I get to experience as we're cleaning up the auditorium, I get to see how that particular service has affected the people. And a classic example is just at our last series, doing the sex series, as I can see grown men sitting out here just bawling their eyes out. And that's a clear indication that people are being set free here, that hearts are being changed and lives are being impacted. And what that does for me is it fires me up just to be a part of a place where lives are being changed.
Yeah, isn't that great? Yeah. Tony's one of a group of people that when you're all leaving and you're gone, he walks in between all these little, all these rows and picks up old coffee cups, picks up, you know, all kinds of stuff that's around. So we have a clean experience when we come in. And, man, you're one of the warriors that makes this place happen, Tony. Thank you. Thank you. And we also have, over here, EJ. EJ, tell us about you and who you are.
I'm 17, senior assistant at Country Day. And, I've been going to Crossroads for about 5 or 6 years now, I want to say.
And what's your role around here?
I serve on the special needs team. Now, I originally started in kids club in the two-year-old room and switched over.
So what does that mean to serve in the special needs team?
For me, that means being paired one-on-one with a child with special needs. And in my case, I work on Sundays during the 11:45 service with a child with autism.
Now, you might have, if you ever come to the 11:45 service, you might say, EJ looks familiar because he just wanders around the atrium with, what's his name again?
Mark.
Mark. And what are you doing while you're wandering around with Mark?
It depends. In the beginning, it was a lot of running. and me chasing and being out of breath. But now we do a lot more certain things. We paint, we go on the elevator, we go down the slide, we listen to music, we measure things. He's really into measuring now, so it's wide range.
Now, I have a question for you in a minute, Tony, so you want to pick up your microphone again. Don't make it only go. You're in winter here, and how does winter relate to what you do with Mark?
In the beginning, during the process of me serving, I was definitely at a place where I was frozen. You know, I would come, I would serve for an hour, and I got no sort of satisfaction or rewarding that I was looking for. You know, I thought I would come here, you know, I'm giving up an hour of my weekend. Why don't I feel like, you know, what I'm doing is worthwhile? And it took a journey for me to get to the point where, you know, I'm serving. That's what I came to do. It wasn't for me. It was for him. And, you know, I'm in a place where, you know, I see that, you know, I'm happier with God. I'm happier with him and his family. And I can definitely see the impact that I've made.
17 years old. How about that, folks? That's a model. So it's gone through winter there. And Tony, you're in fall. Well, how does fall represent what God's doing in your life right now?
Well, in order to get back on the path of growth, there were some things in my life that I had to let go. The suit, the deacon title, so all of that religious stuff. Mm.
That's cool. And how about you up here? You're in Spring, Mandy. Everyone say hello to Mandy. Yes, Mandy. Why are you in Spring?
A few reasons. Well, there's spring in my own life, my own personal life. I just had a baby spring forth from me.
Or drop forth.
4 months ago, yeah. Drop forth. Yes. Although it felt like he was springing. I'm in a period of very healthy growth right now. Wasn't always there, that's for sure. My husband and I moved to the Cincinnati area a little over 3 years ago so he could go to school at UC. And so he had that built-in community at school, and I didn't have anybody. I didn't know anybody here in Cincinnati. We've always gone to church. And so we wanted to find a church home, and it's really hard when you don't know anyone. So I said, I'm not going to visit any place that doesn't at least have a website. So I searched churches, and because we visited some that didn't, and it was very not relative. Relevant, I should say. And Crossroads came up, and I said, oh, let's try it. And so we came, and there's people directing traffic, and I'm thinking, crap, I'm not going to meet anybody here because it's too huge. And everyone just kept saying, you just got to start volunteering. The place will instantly become smaller. You'll start to recognize people. And so I headed over to Kids Club because I love kids and started volunteering with the kindergarten team doing storytelling. They call them presenters. We did the storytelling, you know, sing and do silly songs and dance back there with them right up my alley. And that was where I started, and then I had a baby and decided to take a small break, just give myself a little breather. And then I kind of moved over to CSM, the junior high girls at the 1145 service. I do a small group over there. And both places need people desperately. But right now, for some reason, that's where I am right now. I figured I should get to know what junior high kids are like, get in their psyche, since I'll have one someday soon. And it's true. You do get to, the place became instantly smaller, and I started recognizing people, and it built into me. You need community. You can't do it on your own.
And we have people who are all over the place here. Some people like yourself who used to go to church. Probably most of us never had any church experience before we came here, or at least not for a long, long time. We have people here who believe God, people who don't believe in God, people who believe and receive Jesus, people who are not even sure if he was an historical figure. We're here to welcome you wherever you are and push you to a new place. And we have people who are serving various spots around here, part of the team, who are all over the place. And that's part of the what makes Crossroads a neat place. Let's thank these folks right here for what they do, where they are. Yes, awesome. They're giving up all their time to be here. And, you know, even Tony last night, he was serving last night, came here, and then he had night shift. He took off and he went and actually did his real job last night. The dedication of folks around here just is amazing to me. You know, Jesus would so often use metaphors that were from the agricultural standpoint. You might want to cover up your coffee while we do this, or cover up your hair. You know, it was a normal thing to see people planting things back in Jesus' day. So he would use it as a word picture. One time he says this in the book of Luke. And by the way, if you come to church and you don't want seed on you, go to some other church, okay? Seriously. It says this in Luke chapter 8. It says, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out. Where was I? It's hard to walk and chew gum, let alone walk, throw seed, and read. And farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering seed, some fell on the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he had said this, he called out. He said, he who has ears to hear, let him here. Jesus says here that when God comes and visits a person, there's something on the outside that comes in. Something on the outside that comes in. And based on what is on the inside of you, that will dictate your response. Today, I'm going to give you all kinds of thoughts and ideas that you might not have had before. Or I may give you ideas and thoughts you have had before, but you've never actually followed through on. Today, we're talking about spring. Spring is messy. Spring is muddy. Spring is when the seeds that were down inside of us take root and they start popping up through our lives. And people can see that something was planted inside of us a long time ago. God, I ask that today, as you have planted things in us, and you are going to plant things in us, you're going to give us ideas that we haven't had before, give us insights we haven't had before. Maybe you're going to give us yourself. Maybe many of us have never received you. And that's going to happen today. We're just trusting that our heart is in a good place and it's fertile soil. And I pray these things in your name. Amen. You know, once something gets planted inside of you, you have to have spring-like conditions. There has to be rain that takes place. And we're going to create a little rainstorm in here today. When I used to work in student ministry, I used to do things that you really can't do with adults, like stupid things like jamming things up your nose and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't really go with adults all that well. But there's some things that you can do that I've never done here, and that is create an illusion of a rainstorm in here. So here's how this is going to work. It's going to be very, very cool. We're going to start here, and whatever motion or action I do, you do the exact same thing. And as I fan around, I come around like this, as soon as I come to you, you start doing what I just was doing. And you keep doing it till I give you a different motion. Here we go. First thing that happens with the rainstorm is silence. Man, that's a rainstorm there. Gosh. Man, that's a serious rainstorm. Yes. Look what you guys create in here. I'll tell you what. Yes. Now, you know, when spring comes, and we receive something, just like Jesus talked about receiving something, there has to be rain that actually comes upon us. That's very necessary. Most of the time, we try to get away from rain. Rain was a natural metaphor that Jesus used, and agriculture was a natural thing to use. If he came today, he could use sports metaphors. He could use business metaphors. He could use all kinds of different metaphors. But the society in which he grew up in, everybody planted something, or you knew something that was being planted by somebody. So he used that as a common reference point for the spiritual life. For you to grow spiritually, you must go through spring. And what does spring entail? Spring entails rain. Spring entails receiving seed. Spring entails something starting to come up from outside of us. The first big thing to understand about spring is God comes from outside in. God comes from outside in. You know, many of us think that, well, I've always known God, or I've always been a spiritual person. Well, maybe. Maybe you've always had some sense of God or some sense of spirituality. But Jesus is very clear, and the scriptures are very clear, that there is something that happens when God comes from outside in. Nobody just naturally comes out of their mother and all of a sudden has a full understanding of God and has a great relationship with him. There is something where something comes from the outside in. God comes from the outside. That's what Jesus tells the metaphor of going and casting seed. God is the farmer. He's on the outside throwing things away, trying to get something to take root inside of you. And all of us in here respond to information about God or respond to Jesus differently. Some of us have hearts that are like a beaten path. Some of us have hearts that are like a rocky place. Some of us have hearts that are like really thick, lush, beautiful soil. As Jesus goes and he describes that metaphor or that parable, here's how he described it. He says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes, takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. There's some big intense word there, like devil, saved. Just saying some people, when they receive, there's a force that comes and keeps them from coming into a great relationship with God. It just gets plucked away. It's like going into thin air. Where was that seed? Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. A little bit of soil just falls on them, and all of a sudden they start coming up, but the sun gets out. It starts scorching them. Life gets a little hot, and they have no depth of roots, so they dry up and go away. There's no depth to their heart. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. This is the way many of us are going to be in here today. I'm going to say some stuff. It's going to fall on you. You're like, ooh, I like this. But you're going to walk outside this building, and immediately the pressures of having a credit card payment are going to come upon you, and you're going to forget everything that happened. The pressures of having a relationship that is going south and fast. The pressures of your physical limitations, the pressures of whatever it is, you're just going to think about those pressures more than you're thinking about what God might be giving you today, and it's just going to be choked out. It may as well have been like you didn't even receive that seed. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble heart and a good heart who hear the word, they retain it, and by persevering, they produce a crop. They produce a crop. Boy, that's what spring is about. They produce a crop. They're like thick, lush dirt like this. It can take roots. It can take root. The roots can go way, way down and deep. And as they go down and deep, stuff pops up that is lush, that is beautiful, that produces a crop. That's what God wants from us. God doesn't want us to be an individualistic plant that just stays by ourselves. God wants us to produce a crop. He wants a life where things are just sort of popping out of our life. Things are coming alive inside of us. We're living a lush life where all kinds of great characteristics are happening. That's what God wants from us. That's what all of us should want from ourselves, to have a lush, beautiful life where things are coming out of us that are just awesome and fantastic. And it starts when God comes from the outside in. It starts from the outside in. The strange thing about the way we tend to live our lives is we think that so long as I organize everything on the outside, then my life will be okay on the inside. And if we start feeling pain inside or dissension inside, we just think, well, I have to organize the outside a little bit better. I just have to work out more. I just have to get a different job on the outside. I just have to get a higher paying job. I just have to date somebody new. I just need to have to find a new husband. I just have to have another kid. I just have to find a new hobby. I just have to go away on another vacation. And so we think that life is sort of this Rubik's Cube of, if I just have all the externals all lined up, then inside I'll feel happy. And if I don't feel happy, it's because something on the externals isn't lined up. This is called the American way. That's called the American way. Get everything on the outside all good, and on the inside you'll feel good. And if you don't feel good on the inside, then somebody on the outside is doing something wrong, as opposed to, maybe I got a rocky heart. Maybe I have thorns in my life. Maybe I don't have the depth of character to weather difficult things that are on the outside. Growth comes from the inside out. God comes from the outside in. And then growth comes from the inside out. Growth happens on the inside out. Growth happens when there's something beneath the surface and all of a sudden it starts to come up. I could take this plant and just place it. I could take one of these plants here out of the deal and just sort of place it here and it would die. It would just die because it's just an outside thing. It has to grow up from the inside. That's how all growth works. It grows up from the inside. Anything that's great in your life that God is doing, it started on the inside. There was something inside that was coming up and coming around. What I find very interesting is for many of us, the more we get to know God, the more we're going to be drawn to some of the external, sexy spiritual things. What I mean by sexy spiritual is, I mean the kind of things that are going to be on Discovery Channel. You know, like Nostradamus kind of things, or like spoon bending things. We want to graduate to some intense spirituality. We have all this cool stuff. Like Nostradamus has come out, so there's some new special with Nostradamus, and people are going to be watching that. Oh, what about Nostradamus? Who gives a rip about Nostradamus? You know, here's why I say who gives a rip. I want to know what the guy's character was like. I want to know what the guy's heart was like. I mean, hearing that he did something with Hister versus Hitler or a variety of other things, that really doesn't impress me. What impresses me was I know the character of somebody's life, the internal beauty of somebody's life. And how do I know that? By what's happening outside. One time somebody came to Jesus, a bunch of people came to Jesus who had Discovery Channel kind of spiritual gifts. They were doing the kind of spiritual things that would be highlighted on Discovery Channel. And here's what Jesus said in talking with them. He said this. He says, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. We tend to be in a very non-agrarian culture, even a non-nature culture. We'll go into nature once in a while to get a vacation or get a little buzz, but very few of us really understand all the trees and all the stuff that's in nature. If I showed you a piece of bark from a tree, very few of us would know, based on the bark, what kind of tree it is. If we cut down the tree and gave a cross-section of the trunk and you could see all the rings, very, very few of us would say, oh, I know what kind of tree that is. If we even pulled off a leaf from the tree and said, what is this? Very few of us would be able to know what kind of tree is based on the leaf. But if I gave you the fruit that came off that tree, you would immediately know, oh, that's an orange tree. Oh, apple, that's an apple tree. Oh, walnut, that came from a walnut tree. You know a fruit, you know the content of a tree based on the fruit. You know who you are based on the things that your life is producing. This is what Jesus says. It's a matter of the character in your life, the things that are being produced in your life. And then right after he says this, he says this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Some people are thinking, ooh, who does? Okay, that's good, because I got some good Discovery Channel things that I do. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles. Then I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. He says, Nostradamus types who claim that they have a relationship with Jesus are going to come and say, hey, God, didn't I prophesy in your day? Didn't I? And Jesus goes, I never knew you. What's your name again? Never knew you. People are going to say, hey, didn't I like drive out demons? I've never done that. It'd be pretty cool to do sometime. I've never done that. Kind of strange. But, you know, if I did do that, I'd be feel pretty good about myself. Apparently, some people are going to do that kind of thing. And say, hey, you know, we did all this super spiritual stuff. Just going to say, what's your name again? I never met you. I've never been in you. I don't know who you are. And someone say, oh, hey, miracles. Didn't we like put hands on people and pray for people and cancer go away? All this kind of stuff. And Jesus goes, I'm sorry. Have we met before? People see Jesus is not impressed with Discovery Channel kind of spiritual. If you can do those things and you have fruit in your life, that's fantastic. But that's not fruit. What is fruit? It's not the cool things you do on the outside. It's the beautiful things that spring from the inside. There's this litany of beautiful fruits that's in the New Testament from Book of Galatians. It says the fruit of the Spirit. If the Spirit is in you, if you have received the Spirit, the kind of tree that you are, you produce fruit of love, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the things that pop, beautiful things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. So when somebody has the fruit of love popping out of them, you go, oh gosh, I just want to be around that person. Who are you? Who are you? Someone has joy that's coming out of them. You know that when they have joy, even when they are in deep pain in their life, you say, what is going on inside of you? How can you be that joyful when you've got 2 years to live from your cancer? Well, it's because God's in you and it's producing joy that transcends thorns in our life. We start trampling over the thorns as opposed to the thorns trampling over. Who are you that people are gossiping about you and giving you grief and you're answering that with kindness? How can you be kind when people are slamming you behind your back? Well, it's because the heart is thick with nice, rich soil and kindness and gentleness. Who are you that used to be an addict to this, that, or whatever, and all of a sudden you're exhibiting self-control? How are you exhibiting self-control when these things used to rule you? Well, it's because God came from the outside in, planted something, and all of a sudden growth is coming from the inside, and I'm exhibiting more self-control than I used to. And I'm not saying that if you're not loving, you're not faithful, you're not gentle, I'm not saying if you ever have slip-ups in those areas and God is in your life. I'm saying the more God is in your life, the more God is rooting in your life, coming through your life, the more those things are going to be manifest. Those are the sexy things. Those are the sexy things. It's not the Discovery Channel stuff. It's the stuff, the day in, day out love, the day in, day out kindness, the day in, day out gentleness. Those things are intense and they're phenomenal. It comes from the inside. And you know, for those things to happen, you know what you have to have? Rain. You have to have rain. You have to have mud. If you don't have rain, if you don't have mud, you can't have those things. Can I admit that I hate rain? Anyone want to admit that you hate rain? I hate rain. Hated it. I hate rain. I do not like rain. Especially when I used to have an apartment. If you have an apartment or a condo, you don't plant anything, you don't mow anything, you hate rain. Because you don't see what the point of rain is. What is the point of rain? All rain does is it cancels your Little League baseball game. It moves your cookout from outside to inside. It makes you have a leaky roof. I mean, rain only brings back, makes you drive slower because stupid Cincinnatians can't drive the speed limit in rain. It's, yeah, what is it with you people? What is it with, you know, I'm making the conversion from Pittsburgh to Cincinnati because I'm wearing these things today, but man, I will not convert your driving ways. You people are weird when the way you drive, man. Rain means I slowed down. I mean, rain means life isn't as good for most of us until you plant something. Until you actually plant your first lawn. You know, I've lived in three houses. Each one of those houses, I've had to redo the lawn or start the lawn. And you do that, and all of a sudden, you're like, where's the rain? Where's the rain? Come on. Before, I would hear someone say, oh, we really needed the rain. No, we didn't need the rain. You never need the rain. Then all of a sudden, you plant something. All of a sudden, you're going, where is the rain? Rain, come on. It used to be rain, go away, come again another day. Now it's rain, come now so I don't have to replant my stupid lawn next year, right now. Come right now. It's not until you plant something that you want rain. What is the rain that happens? Rain is the inconvenience that comes from God to water us. Rain are the seeming distractions. Rain is the stuff that we don't like in the moment, but it moisturizes us. It starts something inside popping up out of us. I don't like yard work, but I realize that's how God works. I don't like yard work so much that, you know, lawns. As soon as my son started walking, he was mowing the lawn. Like at six. At 6 years old, he was mowing the lawn. So I'm like, you're kidding. No, I'm not kidding. Really. He was mowing the lawn. He would take his, instead of using the handle up here because he couldn't reach that high, he was using the middle one and pushing like this. And you're going, aren't you afraid he's going to cut off his foot? No. All I care is I'm not doing the lawn because I hate yard work. I don't like mowing things. I don't like planting things. The only thing I like picking is my nose. I'm not a yard work guy. I don't like being out. I wish I was, but I don't like it. In the same way, when God grows me in the moment, I don't like it. I don't like the process of spiritual growth. I don't like rain. I don't like having to be down on my knees. I don't like having the cramps that come with engaging. But yet, whenever you see a garden that is lush, that is beautiful, you know there is somebody there who's done the back-breaking work of dealing with spring. Whenever you see somebody who's close with God, who has love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, you know they've been in the rain, you know they've been on their knees, you know they've been enduring stuff, and that's why that stuff is there. That stuff isn't on people who grew up in the silver spoon and they never get outside into the mud. That stuff is in people's lives who have gone through the difficulty where the rain has come and you curse God and you thought awful stuff was happening. And perhaps it was awful. And perhaps a lot of it was not God. But at the same time, you realize, boy, this rain, this mud is something that I need. I have a kind of job where I leave at the end of the day and I'm not even sure if I worked or not. I mean, I worked all day. I'm not ashamed of my hours or hours at all. I mean, you guys get your money's worth in terms of the hours I put in. You really do. But when I leave at the end of a day or at the end of a week, like, I'm clean. You know what I mean? I've been behind a desk. I've been cramping or typing on a thing. I might have a cramp on my forearm from typing. Yeah, that's about the only thing I might have. I go at the end of the day and I'm just not sure, did I work today? Did I get dirty? There's something cool about the dirty jobs, isn't there? Like, when I heard that Tony left last night to go work, I'm like, now that's a man right there. You leave and you go at night and you go work. And I'm like, man. And then here I am, like, my little air on chair, you know, going like this. There's something about my work and your work that might not feel like work. I mean, most of our dirty jobs, we think that we have to graduate out of. We want to graduate out of our dirty job or have somebody else do the dirty job or pay somebody to do the dirty job. And yet, Discovery Channel has an incredible show that many of us love called Dirty Jobs. You ever seen Dirty Jobs? Yeah, Mike Rowe, Dirty Jobs. Here he is. He was doing a coal plant, I think, where this picture was taken. This guy goes around and he does all these crazy dirty jobs that somebody has to do in order for you and I to live the way we live. Like, you're sitting right now on concrete, is in here. For there to be concrete, somebody at the end of the day works for the concrete company and crawled inside, you might not have noticed it, those little manhole covers on cement mixers, crawled inside the manhole cover with a little pneumatic jackhammer and earmuffs on, and jackhammered out the inside of a concrete truck so that when it mixed concrete the next day, it would flow out right. Somebody had that dirty job or else you and I would never be on concrete. How many of you like tilapia fish? How many of you like bass? Like striped bass fish, you know? I used to like tilapia until I found out from dirty jobs that tilapia are in the fish farms to eat the poop of the striped bass. That's why tilapia exists. And there's people who are in fish farms who know that people want to eat fish and bass, and so they have to transfer all these fish from one tank to the next tank and then transfer other fish into that tank to eat their poop. And that's what they do for a living. And if you like fish, there's somebody somewhere who's transferring poop-eating fish into a tank where your fish was, or you're eating poop-eating fish right now. You do that, and you're doing that because somebody has a dirty job behind the fish. They had another job on there. Apparently in Las Vegas, the land of the Grand Buffet, they have special recycling containers for all the buffet food that doesn't get eaten. So they take all this slop and just dump it in these deals. And then some company goes around and clicks up all the day-old hamburgers, the day-old chicken vegetable soup, gush, moosh, beans, all the and just takes it and plops it in this big old bin. And people sort through it, make sure there's not hangers in it. And they put it in these troughs, and pigs and cattle eat this stuff. And if you eat a hamburger, if you have bacon, it's because somebody went through somebody's buffet line leftover rejects. And the amazing thing is, as you watch people do these jobs, they're actually smiling. They like them. They like these jobs. In this article, Mike Rowe says this. They ask, why do people do dirty jobs? He says, personal gratification, the evidence that they've made a contribution. These people take great pride in what they do. Everyone I've met who has a dirty job knows that if you remove them from the chain, then the whole thing falls in itself. You'll see a lot of optimism and cheerfulness. These are happy people. When you have a dirty job, you know you made a contribution. You know you made a difference. You walk away in the day and you have dirt in your fingernails and cramps in your back. You know you had an impact. And yet for so many of us, we try to stay away from dirt. We try to stay away from difficulty. Jesus, one time, he looked at the difficult emotional state of people. He saw people lonely. He saw them beaten down. He saw them going after things that weren't going to satisfy. And he looked on them and he noticed they were like sheep without a shepherd. No one was building into them. No one was loving them in a direct or an indirect way. And here's what he said. He said, pray, the Lord of the harvest, the book of Matthew. He said, pray. Oh, that was one of my points. Go ahead, put that point up. Good work. Put that one back up there, Bill. That's good. How about our great volunteers back in the sound booth? They have a hard time following me. Good works comes from getting dirty. Go ahead, put that one up. Good works comes from getting dirty. And here Jesus says. Jesus says, then he said to disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers out into his harvest field. Ask them to send workers out in the harvest field. Good works comes when you get dirty. Good works doesn't come when you think nice thoughts. Good works doesn't come when you intend to do nice things. Good works doesn't come when you applaud other people for doing nice things. Good works comes when you yourself get engaged in the world and you yourself get dirty. When you yourself get down on your hands and knees and start picking and planting things yourself and get up and say, oh, I got a little dirty there. I got a little good works. I went yesterday to watch my son play in a JV football game, and it was raining a little bit, and those are great times for football. Football is meant for rain, except when there's artificial turf. That was really a bummer. You know, you go and you watch this thing at the end of the game. You're not sure, do they play a game or they not play a game? Were they playing in the living room, you know, couch football, or were they playing outside? Because you can't tell. No one's dirty. Real football, real soccer, real field hockey happens when you're muddy. It happens when you know at the end of the game that you're actually engaged. But most of us, the way we want to go through life is sort of like tiptoeing. Oh, I don't want to get dirty. Oh, I don't want to get on people with problems. Oh, let's go. I'll just pay someone to go over there. We just kind of tiptoe through and like that's success. If I don't get dirty and like nothing goes wrong on me because I don't want to get dirty. Until you're an athlete. If you're an athlete, the last thing you want at the end of the game is to be clean. Because clean people are losers. That's what clean people are. Clean people are play Dungeons and Dragons. You know, you want to be, and there's nothing wrong with playing Dungeons and Dragons. When you play Dungeons and Dragons, you're supposed to be clean when you play Dungeons and Dragons. But, you know, then if you're going to go out and play murals, you want to be dirty at the end of the day. You know, you want to be engaged. I remember how humiliating it was when I would play junior varsity football. How at the end of the game, or varsity football when I was a 10th grader, you would go at the end of the game and you would take off your jersey and you have to hand it in. They'd always have like these girl managers. I don't know why the managers were always girls. I have a couple ideas, I guess, why that was. But they have these girl managers who would just collect your jersey, and you'd have people going in and be all dirty and stuff, and you'd have this clean one. You'd be giving them, you just say, yes, I'm a loser. Take that one, please. Because they knew you weren't good enough and that you weren't engaged. And so what you did, what you learned to do is during calisthenics ahead of the game, before the game would happen, you would try to find places on the field where you could get dirty. So you would be doing like the hurdler stretch thing. You know, you ever do the hurdler stretch deal when you're, oh, I'm so steady. And you'd be down, you kind of just try to get it all like grass stain, you know, you're doing that whole thing. And so at the end of the game, you could come up and you could say, oh yeah, I got it. Or you would make sure that you somehow would get around a mud puddle while you were in the midst. In fact, I talked to a friend of mine who said when he played soccer, he would always make sure as he was running, he would kind of just step on some mud so it would splash up on him so it looked like he actually was in. But if you could find a mud puddle in the middle of the thing, you had yourself set up. We used to do these things called Alabamas. You know what Alabamas are? They have them in Cincinnati, Alabamas. I don't know, maybe they're called Kentuckians or something. But they're just meant when you just jump down in the dirt. So you would have to have your knees. Maybe they call it up downs. What do they call it around here? What would you say? Up downs? Anything else that were called? Suicides! There you go. Suicides, up downs, Kentuckians, whatever you want to call them. I'm not cracking on Kentucky. Some of you think I am. You're going to send me emails. Don't send me emails, okay? So do something else with your time. What you would do is you would chop your feet. You would chop your feet and you would try to get high knees because you're trying to simulate if you were in a game and you were to get knocked down, how fast you could get up. And so the whole team would be doing this, you know, and the coach would blow the whistle. And what happens when the whistle blows? You're down and you're up and you're doing this thing. You're down and you're up. And at the end of the game, at the end of the game, I mean, I could not get in the game at all, but at the end of the game, I got dirty. I got dirty. I got my jersey dirty. I got my jersey. Jesus says there is a dirty and hurting world. There's a world where people are in need. There's a world where people need to be engaged. And not only do people need to engage, but you need to engage in order for you to grow. You do not grow in the stands. You do not grow in cleanliness. You grow when you're on your hands and knees. You grow when you're jumping into somebody's life. Could be your neighbor's life who is a single mom and is just beat down. You say, hey, guess what? Once a week, I'm watching a kid. Once a month, I'm watching a kid. You're going to go out and have ladies' night out with somebody. I'm going to get dirty with you and your family. Go. Maybe because you have an elderly person, you say, hey, this winter, no worries. When it snows, I got you covered. I'm going to get dirty. And while you're out there shoveling, while you're babysitting the annoying kid, what you're going to find is that gentleness is going to be growing inside of you. Faithfulness is going to be growing. Patience. You don't grow in patience until you're put in a spot where patience is required. And then you have to grow in patience. Jesus says, where were you when I was in need? Where were you when I was not hungry? Where were you when I was naked? And people said, what were we talking about? We always saw you. We were around you. He said, no, you weren't. Because when you haven't done it for the least of these, you haven't done it for me. Don't impress me with your Bible knowledge. Don't impress me with how many times you go to church. Don't impress me with the cool super Discovery Channel things you can do. Don't impress me with the dreams that you said you've had. Impress me with how you've loved on those and gotten dirty with those. Impress me with the dirty sheep that you've been around because they're hurting. They need people to engage. You know, at the end of a service, if I was talking about gossip and I had a way for us to engage on gossip, I would do that right now as an application. If I had a way to make people love enemies or a way to help you parent better if you're a parent, I would do that right now if I had some way to do that. I can do that actually with this one. With this one, I actually can do that. There's little buckets that are at the end of your row. They're at the end of your row. Don't pass them by yet. Don't pass them by yet. In those buckets are cards like this that are serving cards. And you're going to have the opportunity to fill one of these out if you want to. And by the way, this is not the ultimate point is getting everyone to do one of these. Because a lot of us, we do not want you to do this. Because you just got fired up. You might feel a little guilt-induced, which I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. But if you feel guilty, maybe you're guilty. So you need to... We're gonna have about 25 volunteers. They're gonna follow up with you if you decide to fill these out to be on our team around here. Some of us are gonna get dirty because you already know somebody you're gonna serve. You know somebody in your workplace you're gonna serve. You know something you already understand the field of play for you. And if CrossFit is helping you do that, that's fantastic. That's awesome. All those things are important to God. And at the same time, here on our team, here on our field of play, we have roles that are so many roles for you to be engaged in. And we would love to, if you want to fill one of these out. This is not a contract. This is just a questionnaire that helps a volunteer get a little acclimated with your situation who will call you up and say, hey, you might want to try this, might want to try that. So if you're interested in thinking about that, pick up the cans that are on one side of your aisle or the other. Pass it down. If you want one of these, take one of these out. Right now, take a pen. Pass it all the way down. And all you'll do is, right here with name, is fill out your name. You'll fill out the phone number there, your email, best time to call. And again, these are not contractual commitments you're making here. These are just giving a little background information so the person who calls you up is going to have a productive conversation or a productive email back and forth with you. And you know, while you do this too, I would also encourage you to exercise patience. You know, the great thing about this place, about our team, is that people respond. So we've got like a stack of cards that's like this big from just the first two services. And guess what? We need them. The harvest around here is plentiful. It is. The harvest in here is plentiful, and our workers are few relative. So we need those. But at the same time, we need people to exercise patience as we follow up. So if you could do that, that'd be great. That'd be cool. You know, we just want the best for you is what we want. We want the best for you. By the way, when you go out, these will be on the tables as you leave, little tables outside the exit doors, and just drop that in there if you want to do that. We believe that God has put us here to change the world, and we believe that we are changing the world. And the world gets changed as we engage our world and as you get engaged, as you start to change. Because as you engage the world and get out of our sterile environments and get into places that stretch us and pull us, all of a sudden love starts popping up. Patience starts popping up. Goodness starts popping up. All these attributes, and God looks and says, that's my boy right there, right there, right there. That's my girl. That's my girl. That is it. I know who you are based on what's naturally happening in your life.
God, many of us have had reformatted for us. What a beautiful day. I love days that are serene and calm. I love those days. I love those days of rest. And I know you love those days too. But I'm tired of instinctively thinking something is wrong if rain is happening. Instinctively thinking that something is going bad someplace if there's mud here. For many of us in here, we need to redefine our circumstances. It is a beautiful thing that's raining on us right now. It is a beautiful thing that mud is taking place, because that is the opportunity for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control to pop out of us. God, I just want to encourage you to allow the rains to come, and I want to encourage you to encourage others who have decided to become part of the team here today and get dirty with other people. It's a great thing that you're doing in lives in here. Thanks for letting us be a part of it. Amen. Hey, have a beautiful day.